Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence by Father J.P. de Caussade. Continuing Book 1, Chapter 2, Section 1. The divine action is present everywhere and always, although it is only visible to the eye of faith. Faith is the light of time. Alone it attains truth without seeing it. It touches what it does not feel. It beholds this world as if it were not there, seeing something quite different to what appears on the surface. Faith is the key of the treasury, the key of the abyss of divine wisdom, the key of the science of God. It is faith that gives the lie to all creatures. It is by faith that God reveals and manifests himself in all things. It is faith that divinizes things, which lifts the veil and reveals to us eternal truth. All that we see is lies and vanity. The truth of things is in God. What a difference between the ideas of God and our illusions! How can it be that though we are continually warned that every passing event in the world is but a shadow, a figure, a mystery of faith, we always behave in a merely human way and judge events by our natural understanding of them, with the result that they remain an enigma? We fall into the snare like fools instead of lifting our eyes and ascending to the principle, the source, the origin of things, where everything has another name and other qualities, where everything is supernatural, divine, and sanctifying, where everything is part of the plenitude of Jesus Christ, where each occurrence is a stone of the heavenly Jerusalem, where everything is a means of entrance into that marvelous city. We live as we see and as we feel, and we render useless that light of faith which would lead us so surely through the labyrinth of clouds and images among which we lose our way like idiots, because we do not walk by the light of faith, which desires nothing but God and what is His, and which lives forever by Him, passing beyond and abandoning what is but an image. Section 2. The more repugnant the appearances under which it is concealed, the more clearly is the divine action visible to the eye of faith. The soul illuminated by faith is very far from judging things as do those who measure them by their senses, being ignorant of the inestimable treasure they conceal. He who knows that a certain person in disguise is the king welcomes him in a very different manner from one who, seeing the exterior aspect of an ordinary man, treats him according to his appearance. Similarly, the soul that sees the will of God in the smallest things or in the most distressing and fatal events accepts them all with equal joy, gladness, and respect. What other people fear and fly from in horror is received by this soul with honor. It throws its gates wide open in welcome. Though the guest's equipage may be small, and the senses despise it, yet the heart nonetheless reveres the royal majesty beneath the mean trappings. And the more his royal majesty abases himself to come in this hidden and humble way, the more deeply is the heart penetrated with love. I cannot express the feelings of the heart when it welcomes the divine will, so diminished in glory, so poor, so annihilated. How the beautiful heart of Mary was penetrated by this poverty of a God, this annihilation to the point of dwelling in a stable, sleeping on a little straw, to the point of weeping and trembling. Ask the inhabitants of Bethlehem. See what they think of this child. If he were lodged in a palace surrounded with the state of a prince, they would pay their court to him. But ask the same question of Mary, Joseph, the Magi, the shepherds. They will tell you that they find in this extreme poverty something which makes God greater and more lovable. The very deficiency of material things enhances, increases, and enriches faith. The less for the eyes, the more for the soul. To adore Jesus on Tabor, to love the will of God in extraordinary things, does not indicate as excellent a life of faith as to love the will of God in ordinary circumstances, and to love Jesus on the cross. For faith is only living at its best when sensible appearances contradict and attempt to destroy it. This war of the senses renders faith more gloriously triumphant. To find God as good in the tiniest and most ordinary events as in the greatest is to have not an ordinary, but a great and extraordinary faith. To be content with the present moment is to appreciate and adore the divine will in all we have to do and suffer in the events which reveal it to us. Souls in these dispositions adore God with redoubled love and respect in the most humiliating circumstances. Nothing hides him from the piercing eye of their faith. The more the senses declare, "There can be no God here," the more these souls hug to their breast the myrrh of their suffering. Nothing astonishes them. Nothing disgusts them. Mary will witness the flight of the apostles, but she will remain herself constant at the foot of the cross. She will recognize her son, no matter how disfigured he may be by spittle and wounds. For contrariwise, his disfiguring wounds make him the more adorable and lovable to his tender mother. The more he is blasphemed, the greater will be her veneration. The life of faith is nothing else than a continual pursuit of God through everything that disguises, misrepresents, and, so to speak, destroys and annihilates him. It is indeed the reproduction of the life of Mary, who from the stable to Calvary remains attached to a God whom everyone fails to recognize, abandons, and persecutes. In the same way, men of faith pass through and beyond a succession of veils, shadows, appearances, and, as it were, deaths, all of which do their best to make the will of God unrecognizable. But they pursue and love the divine will unto the death of the cross. They know that shadows must always be abandoned in order to follow this divine Son, who from his rising unto his going down, however dark or heavy may be the clouds that hide him, enlightens, warms, and makes to glow with love the faithful hearts who bless, praise, and contemplate him at all points of his mysterious orbit. Hasten then always, faithful souls, happy and tireless, after your beloved spouse, who walks with giant steps from one end of the heavens to the other. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He walks over the tiniest blades of grass, as well as over cedars. He passes over grains of sand, as well as over mountains. Wherever you can step, he has passed. And in order to find him, wherever you may be, you have but to pursue him incessantly. How delightful the peace one enjoys when one has learned by faith to see God in this way through all creatures as through a transparent veil. Darkness becomes light, and bitterness sweet. Faith, by showing us the truth of things, changes their ugliness into beauty and their malice into goodness. Faith is the mother of gentleness, confidence, and joy. She can have only tenderness and compassion towards her enemies, who enrich her so greatly at their own cost. The more cruel the action of the creature, the more profitable does the action of God make it for the soul who endures it. While the human tool does its best to injure, the divine artificer, in whose hands it does its work, make use of that very malice to remove from the soul what is injurious. The will of God has nothing but sweetness, favors, and treasures for souls submissive to it. we cannot have too much confidence in that will. We cannot abandon ourselves too much to it. God's will desires and can always accomplish what will contribute most to our perfection, on condition that we allow God to act. Faith does not doubt this. The more our senses are faithless, revolted, uncertain, and in despair, the more surely faith says, "This is God. All is well." There is nothing that faith does not penetrate and surmount. It passes beyond all darkness, and no matter how deep the shadows, it passes through them to the truth, which it always firmly embraces, and from which it is never separated. Section 3. The divine action offers us at each moment infinite benefits in the measure of our faith and our love. If we are able to envision each moment as the manifestation of the will of God, we shall find in it all that our heart can desire. For what can there be more reasonable, more perfect, more divine than the will of God? Can its infinite value increase through differences of time, place, and circumstance? If you are given the secret of finding it at every moment, in every event, you possess all that is most precious and worthy in your desires. What do you desire, holy souls? Do not hold back. Carry your longings beyond all measures and limits. Dilate your hearts to an infinite extent. I have enough to fill them. There is no moment at which I cannot make you find all that you can desire. This has been taken from Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence by Father J.P. de Cassade, S.J., and translated by Algar Thorold. Copyright 1959 by Burns, Oates & Washburn, Limited. Published by Tan Books. For more information, call Tan at 1-800-437-5876 or find them on the web at www.tanbooks.com.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.